everybody. You're about to hear Listener's Guide coming to you from Big Secret Records headquarters in Portland, Oregon. Season 2 starts.
And it starts right now.
Hey, welcome back to Listener's Guide. So excited for everyone to be here. Please make yourselves at home, but take off your shoes before you come in. This season is a weird one because it's about me. I don't want to spend a lot of time, though, talking about myself on a show that I run that's meant to, like, promote records on a label that I also run. So I'll just kind of give you a little bit of context, and then we'll jump into some conversations I've had with some friends about the song, so it's not just me yakking away on the old yak box. I'd been working on releasing my own album since 2020, and, you know, obviously that had to get delayed because when I got my first single out, it was like weeks before everything shut down, and you know, couldn't have seen it coming, but it was terrible timing. But in between then and now, I've been trickling out songs, and every release got more visibility without me really trying that hard, and I got a lot of support from folks whose taste I trust, so I followed through even though I kind of started to feel like the whole project's time had passed. So then I moved from Denton, Texas, where I had recorded the album, which is called Pueblo, named after my hometown, Pueblo, Colorado. After I had moved from Denton, where I had recorded it, I settled in Portland, and it had been like a year since I had done anything Berkeley-related, and it had mostly been all online stuff, so I was really feeling distant from it and thinking, okay, its time has definitely passed, but I wanted to kind of establish myself as a musician here, and released an EP called Love Notes, and that was featured on Bandcamp's homepage, and I thought, okay, I should finish the whole thing and follow through and get this thing out, because it seems like I'm kind of being guided somehow. And yeah, so now we're here, and that album Pueblo is about to drop, and been kind of rebooting a couple of singles I've released previously, Pueblo Nights and Fiesta Day. Again, they're getting some feedback that I did not think they would get, and listeners that I didn't think that it would reach. So yeah, that's it. That's it for me talking to you. So you'll be hearing from Juan J. Morales, who wrote the liner notes to the LP version of Pueblo, and a good friend, a good creative ally, and an early Berkeley head, huge supporter, and also talking to Kelly Palmblad, a vet musician from Colorado Springs, songwriter, guitar player, writer, yeah, super cool, and just an amazing vocalist too. And you'll also hear from Mike Vunovich, a musician's musician from Pueblo, Colorado, who I was in a band with. That was maybe like the most consequential band of my life that he and I were in together in Los Angeles. And we're talking about the songs, we're talking about the context around them, you know, that might have formed the experiences that led to the song. So, I'll also be dropping in little clips of the songs in progress. I found all of the songs in different stages in voice notes on my phone from years ago, and they all have some pretty interesting origins. So yeah, I'll let us take it from there. Juan had me over to talk about the album and a bunch of other stuff, and I was kind of getting sick, so you might hear me be a little froggy, but I had a great time. Thanks, Juan, and I'm glad you didn't get sick.
I kind of open it, I think, with the hopefulness with Pueblo Nights that, yeah, you know, it would be cool if we could all just, like, forget about whatever it is that happened. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, whatever feelings people have are legit. For it, I mean, not even within my own circle, like it sounds like I've wronged everyone I know, but like, no. You know, like if you have a negative experience in a city, and you leave, it would be nice to be able to come back and just enjoy like the nice parts with people, you know?
Yeah.
And that song kind of came out of my fear of coming home and running into like haters and like it actually spoiling homecoming, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Or even running into people that I had really positive experiences with and then like seeing them again for the first time in a very long time. And there maybe being a question of like, what the hell happened to you? You know?
Yeah.
Just every meeting of people that you once knew being like a celebration would be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't have to necessarily go in the direction of what could have been even.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There were songs that I was writing that were like that. And when I finished them, I was like uncomfortable with it. Cause it's not really how I feel. Like I don't live my life, you know, daydreaming about like, oh man, I wish that this thing would have happened. I think I'm like that because I like where my life ended up. I could see how you would have like, how you personally, Juan Morales, how one person would, you know, feel like that if things didn't turn out the way that they had hoped or planned. But I'm very lucky that I was able to have good things happen in my life. But
The struggle helps the good things stand out, and
right,
you know, it's similar probably to the process of making this album.
Do you feel the same in the moonlight where we came, pleasant and losing game, and we shed our names.
Here's Kelly and I talking in Colorado Springs.
I put out the Pueblo Nights single in February 2020 when it was like there was news of this virus happening, but nothing had happened yet. So I was just putting it out, and I got my first like piece of like earned press. It was like a big deal.
Yeah.
In my world, it was like I hadn't released anything and I hadn't written anything like that in a very long time. And that was the reception that it got. And so I was like, fuck, this is cool. Like, I should keep going. And then everything happened. And I was like, well, I guess I shouldn't book any shows. I shouldn't form a band. I wanted to write songs where I sat down and could play the song. And if someone was like, oh, you know, play me that song, then I could sit down and do it and it would be compelling.
Yeah.
When it's with a band, I think it works because you have all of this energy happening. Like, you know, you're like the bass pushing air and you have a beat behind it. But when it's me just like playing like Pueblo Nights, like it's basically the same progression for 4 minutes and me changing the melody over it. Like I've got to do other things to make that interesting before you catch on.
Totally. As the player, I totally get that.
Yeah.
And then as the,
but it's nice to know that you as a listener.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could not think they were boring. This is another part of my complex is that when someone tells me, whom I don't know, right? Like I played that one show at Swan Dive in Portland. I had someone tell me like I would totally be in a band that played that.
Yeah.
And I was going to ask her to like be in my band. Even though she said that, I still was like, she's just saying that.
Do you think being away from Pueblo helped you create this album?
Yeah, for sure. Because I needed the distance to be able to reflect.
Okay.
If I were here, I think I would be interacting with some of the people that I'm writing about or some of the situations that I was in, and I would have never been able to like,
totally,
you know, think like a song like Email. I don't think I would have been able to come to the conclusions that I did in that song if I were still here and still in that relationship, or if I were still in contact with some of these people that I'm writing about, like High School Tears.
Mm-hmm.
I had to kind of get out. And I know people here talk about like getting out in a way. It's sort of like in the pejorative sense.
Totally.
I've got to escape. And that's kind of like what Fiesta Day is about. Like a friend of mine felt like he had to get out, but like I had to get out just to be able to think this way. But I will say that I never saw my life really outside of Pueblo. It just worked, like things had to happen that way for work reasons and marriage reasons, you know, like,
yeah.
We were drawn out of Pueblo. But we come back all the time, my wife and I, you know, we're not trying to avoid it. I know some people leave and never come back.
Yeah, I know some people that have lived in Pueblo and didn't enjoy it, and they even still to this day talk about it like it's a it's like a significant other that cheated on them and with their sibling or something.
Right. Yeah. And I get that, because who knows what people's situations were or whatever, but
yeah,
totally. Mine was always pretty positive. Despite what some of the things I'm talking about in the album, it was always, I guess I'm looking at those moments with more empathy and love. Cause I kind of had to experience them to become the person that I am today.
Well, I think you can talk about I think the album is a demonstration that you can be honest and raw about Pueblo or you know, even the worst times or difficult times and challenges, and still present it positively. You know, it just gives it dimension, you know, because in a lot of ways Pueblo is a character in this album. You know, it's part of the relationship, like you just said, it made you.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
And there's so many habits that Pueblo people, including myself, have, right? Like I say that I have some distance from all of this, but I'm not like above anything, or I'm not like, I mean, I've been molded by Pueblo to the point that it's like, you know, irreversible. So when I talk about Pueblo people, I'm including myself, but there are habits and sort of like symptoms of being a Pueblo person that I kind of investigate here without coming to like conclusions or saying really clearly, like judging something. It's more just like, I also felt jealous, or I felt like everything was very scarce, and this is how I reacted, and now I regret it, you know. I don't know if I could have felt that way, or like realized that I was also part of that problem if I were here still
and that's
doing it.
That's the beauty of implication, you know. There's a humbleness to the album that kind of says like, I'm acknowledging, I'm reflecting on mistakes and accomplishments, and that keeps it real.
When I went back to shoot the video for Pueblo Nights, I got access to my high school during the summer, so it was pretty empty, and it was just me in the auditorium, and I found this piano backstage, and plunked around on it in a small, poignant moment. Listen.
Does being in a bigger city allow some of these old feelings to come back, or is it different?
I think it allows it to come back. When I was in Texas, I kind of didn't get that feeling, but I think just because there's this old like hatred that people from Colorado have for Texas, that, like, I felt like I couldn't, you know, mix the two together. But yeah, being in Portland, probably just because like counterculture stuff is so, it's actually kind of mainstream there, that I'm reminded often just by seeing people walking down the street of like the punks that I grew up with.
Oh, wow.
Because the fashion has not changed. And, it makes me think of like, oh, that time that someone brought a goat to a show at Phil's. And,
I think I heard about that show.
Yeah. it reminds me of, things that I might forget about if I were just as far away from Pueblo and trying to write this album, you know.
Yeah.
It kind of keeps it fresh in my mind of, there are places where people go to like grow together.
Now, Mike Munovich and I on a field trip. So we're here in front of Phil's Radiator. I guess that's what it was in its last incarnation. Or was it just Phil's Bar and Music Venue?
So after Phil's, it was actually purchased and rebranded it as Papa Doves. but apparently they never bothered to take the Phil's sign down.
And I never saw anything that said Papa Doves.
Yeah, it was this old couple that owned it, and they really just wanted to, they love to go around and get wasted and dance at the different places, so I think they just wanted a place that they owned to do that.
And they did they buy it like before the pandemic or after?
Yeah, it was before the pandemic.
And then that just fucked
up. I don't know if the pandemic shut it down or if they... I feel like they may have actually closed before the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
Because they weren't... It was a very well-run business, like I said. They just wanted to buy their own place to do their drinking and dancing.
And probably drank all their own shit.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Yeah, this was a place... It was a big haunt for local bands and scenesters, because this is like where all the shows went down. Mm-hmm. And a lot of like the bar crew were like friends of bands. And
it was the Gilman Street of Pueblo.
Yeah, there you go.
Or at least that's what we thought.
There weren't a lot of venues that like you could play anyway, so this was just sort of like where everyone came, and there were just mostly punk and metal bands in Pueblo, so this is where everyone played. I think if you played Phil's in Pueblo, you did it.
Yeah.
You're part of the Pueblo legacy.
I'm proud to be part of that legacy.
Yeah, you are very much a part of it, because you were in a lot of... You were just in a lot of bands, and a lot of those bands, like, mattered to whatever group, like, to whatever audience that, you know, ska or punk or whatever it was that was into that particular band.
Thank you for saying that.
You were in like the seminal ones. This is the first place that I went to where there was like a punk show and a goat was there.
Like a goat?
Like a real, it was David Liebehart.
Oh.
And a goat was there. Someone brought a goat. And I learned later that that's like sort of a thing, it's like a milestone in like punk venues, is that eventually like someone will bring a goat.
Really?
And Phil's
got the goat.
Yeah, Phil's reached the goat status.
Wow.
Okay, before we go, I found something cool. This is the like embryo for the song. This is like me thinking of a melody. I don't know where I am exactly, but you can hear that I'm getting into my car. Like I'm thinking of it while I'm walking somewhere.
Pueblo night, things all right.
Folks, that is April 10th, 2018, and the piano bit was from July 18th, 2019. If you want to do the math on that, it comes out to a very long time that this song has been around, percolating, but still, it's the one that gets the most streams. The people seem to like it the most. And it feels like it is the longest song in the world when I'm playing it live. But I'm happy to provide it for folks, as I am happy to provide this podcast as a service, as a public service, to the listeners who need a guide to Big Secret Records releases. Subscribe to the podcast to learn about the rest of Pueblo, track by track. Visit BigSecretRecords.com or find the label on Instagram and TikTok to learn more about what's next from Big Secret Records. Thanks for listening.